Hey, Corey, I've got two numbers for you today, 120 and 3,000.
All right. Well, this sounds good. Should I guess what they are, or do you want me to do like the average? My math skills are kind of weak, so I might get that one wrong.
Why don't you give each one a go?
All right. The first one is the air pressure of a volleyball, and the second one is somehow associated with gravity on the moon.
Okay, so your guesses are not related at all, but the second one is at least in the right ballpark. So 120 is roughly the number of miles out that an aircraft usually starts its descent for landing, whereas 3,000 is the number of miles out the space shuttle enters the Earth's atmosphere as it comes in for landing.
Interesting. Well, I think I know where this is going, because when I hear soft landings, I tend to think about the housing market, especially right now. So sounds like it's time for us to talk about the outlook. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Freddie Mac Multifamily Podcast. I'm Corey Aber.
And I'm Sarah Hoffman. Today on the show, we're going to talk about our 2024 multifamily outlook. And joining us today is Mike Donnelly from the research team, who's going to help us dive in and understand a little bit more about what's shaping up the economy and the multifamily market.
Thanks, Sarah. I look forward to the discussion.
All right. Well, Mike, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the podcast for the first time. Look, there's a lot to dig into with the outlook for next year, with what's going on in the market today and what the implications of that are. But let's start big picture. What's going on in the economy? How should we think about the economy right now?
The economy is performing relatively well. However, the labor market is beginning to show signs of weakness.
Sounds like we've got some mixed signals going on with the economy. I know we talk about inflation a lot. We talk about recession risk. Like, how do you see that playing in? And then I want to turn to, like, what does that mean for housing?
The Federal Reserve has been raising interest rates for most of the year and appears to have reached its terminal rate. However, those interest rate increases take a while to flow through the economy, and now we are starting to see the effects of those rates, which is slowing the economy.
So, Mike, before we get into how this is shaping up our outlook for next year, maybe we can take a step back and think about how our views have changed throughout this year. We've done a lot of work looking at 2023, so I think it'd be good to kind of set the stage for how this past year has changed and wrapped up before we start kind of thinking about 2024.
So to start the year, we believed that the recession risks were elevated, and it was quite possible that we were going to see a recession this year. As the year has gone on, those risks have lowered. However, supply has been elevated in the multifamily market for the past couple of years, and that has begun to slow things down considerably. When we started the year, we expected 2023 to be a relatively strong year for the multifamily market, just below the average for rent growth and vacancy rates. As the year has gone on, it's kind of trended down a little bit below those, and we'll probably end the year just above zero rent growth, with vacancy up about 40 basis points.
So that's interesting. And we covered this a little bit in the mid-year discussion, but it's interesting, right? Because we've had this period of growth for a long time. We've got different things going on in the economy. We've got slower, or as you said, like close to zero rent growth. What do you see driving that?
The main thing that's slowing the multifamily market is probably the slowing in the labor market, and even more so the new supply. There's right about a million units under construction right now, and we're near probably 40-year highs for the number of units that are going to deliver in 2023 and into 2024.
So, Mike, thanks for laying out some of the different things going on in the economy and some of the things we need to think about as we talk today. Let's kind of go through these in some order. And you talked about interest rates and inflation. Let's dig into that a little bit and think about some of the implications of that first.
Well, interest rates have a profound impact on the single-family housing market. And since the first quarter of 2020, the monthly principal and interest payments have more than doubled. So the for-sale housing market is much more expensive than it was 3 years ago, and that's both in terms of monthly cost as well as the sales price. Well, rents have increased significantly since then. They're up about 20% over the past 3 years. Renting is still a much cheaper option across many parts of the country.
And that's a major theme we've been looking at over the past few years, is how expensive the single-family market has become compared to the multifamily market, especially in this rising interest rate environment, which would typically depress or drive down single-family home prices. That's not necessarily taking shape, or any declines that we did see in 2022 have been erased this year so far, even though rates remain high. And that's a disconnect in rates and prices is due to the very low inventory of the for sale market. So pretty much all the supply for sale housing is lower than the demand out there, which is driving up prices despite those higher interest rates. And all those higher prices and the low inventory is keeping any would-be or repeat buyers sidelined. While the more expensive for sale market will prolong rental demand, it won't necessarily create demand for multifamily, or it's not a longer term demand trend. So in a way, the higher interest rates we've been talking about in this regard is not directly impacting those who are choosing to rent, but it's having an impact on those looking to buy a home but remain renters now due to the low inventory and more expensive market. Now, that being said, the higher interest rates do have a greater impact on the investment side of the multifamily market compared to single family. What are we seeing there?
The transaction market for multifamily is severely impacted. The interest rates have moved up considerably over the past year, which has impacted cap rates, although at a much lower rate. That has driven down transaction volume. I think MBA for this year projects about $285 billion, which is a decline of about 40% from last year. So there's a lot of buyers and sellers who don't really agree on the value of assets at this point, and since the interest rates are so high, the discretionary refinances are pretty much non-existent at this point.
So, Mike, there was another point you mentioned. So we have higher interest rates, we have lower transaction volume, but we also have a lot more supply coming into the market. So help me understand how that's happening at the same time that we have some downward pressure from these other forces.
Sure. So there's a time lag with new supply. So, you know, it's generally 2 to 3 years to get a project built from the time it's permitted. With all the supply chain issues and slowdown during COVID and all those issues, that timeline is actually probably closer to 3 years or even more, depending on the product type. High rise especially takes longer to build than low rise. So, well, you know, demand spiked in late 2021 and into 2022. And developers responded with hundreds of thousands of units coming onto the market. It's taken time for those units to actually get built and occupied. So we're kind of seeing that now. We saw the rent spike in 2021 and 2022 when supply was low. Now all those units are being delivered when demand is a bit weaker than it has been. And that has caused kind of the downward pressure on rents.
It's interesting, though, because you have that in the context of challenges in the home ownership market that keeps some stability in the multifamily market or help with some stability there. When we look at the effect of the new supply, you said that there's some impact on occupancy, and rent. So you said there's some impact on rent, but you also see occupancy has been relatively stable recently. So tie those things together for me.
Yeah, Corey, there is some downward pressure on occupancy. And it's down about 30 to 40 basis points over the past year. That large supply that's coming online, occupancy is actually relatively stable given all those new units coming, as you suggested. And what owners and operators of multifamily units seem to be doing is they are trading occupancy for rent growth. So what they'll do is they'll maintain rents or keep them relatively flat in order to maintain occupancy in the building or lease up new buildings quickly.
And I think that's really interesting in what we saw in this report, Mike, is how that can differ across the country. You know, we've talked in aggregate right now about all the supply coming online and the rent growth slowing at the end of 2023. But it's really jumping into the different regions or even the metros where you can see some of those differing trends. Let's discuss a little bit about what we're seeing at that level.
Absolutely. As you said, there's huge differences across the country. The pandemic accelerated trends that were already taking place before the pandemic. People were already moving towards the Sun Belt, Florida, Texas, Arizona, and the Mountain West. The quality of life is viewed as better. They're also generally less expensive than the population centers in the Northeast and the West Coast. As these people moved to these areas and created additional demand, Developers responded and built lots of new units in these areas, particularly in Florida, Texas, Arizona, Colorado, and Salt Lake City in Utah. These areas saw the majority of development over the past couple of years. And to that end, we look at the supply ratio, which is the number of new units being delivered over the past year into the number of existing units in a market. The higher the supply ratio means that there's more supply in relation to the inventory, and therefore more downward pressure on occupancy and rents. The new inventory ratio has been especially high in the Sun Belt and the Mountain West, where the ratio was between 3% and 4%, and that has impacted rent growth. And in those areas, it's down negative between 0.5% and 1.5%. By contrast, the other areas of the country, the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, the Central and Plains, and the West Coast, they're seeing much lower inventory ratios, generally about 1.1 to 1.5%, and generally they have seen positive rent growth. The exception to that is the West Coast, which is slightly negative, and that is due to demographics and out-migration and not an issue with oversupply.
So it sounds like we're actually seeing some pretty high correlation between the rent performance through 2023 and the amount of new supply coming on. How do we foresee those playing out into 2024, into next year?
I think it's going to be a lot of the same. There's still a whole lot of units that are in the pipeline. I think 2024 is probably actually going to be the peak year for deliveries. And again, they're still concentrated primarily in the Sun Belt in that Mountain West region, while other areas of the country are seeing less supply. So, the demand is also higher in those areas, but the supply is outpacing demand at this point, and that will probably continue into next year.
Mike, you talked about some of the demographic shifts and out-migration on the West Coast, but let's look nationally again at just the demographics of renters and what we've been seeing in recent years and how that's playing in.
Of course. So we've talked a little bit about how high home prices are keeping renters renting. There's also the next generation of renters, Gen Z, which were born from 1997 through 2012. And they're not quite as large as the millennials, but they are still significant, and they will be supporting growth in multifamily housing for the next couple decades. So if we look at the 20 through 39-year-old age cohort, what can be considered prime renting age, through the middle of the next decade, it's expected to contract by about 1.9 million people. Over that same time period, the 20 through 29-year-old age cohort only accounts for about 25% of that decline. So while the overall numbers that we typically think of as prime renting age are expected to decrease, the next generation is significant and will likely buoy the rental market in the future.
So that really helps set up the multifamily market and to absorb all this new supply, given that we still have those tailwinds for the longer run demographics. What about that other side of the age curve? What are we seeing on the baby boomer side?
The baby boomers seem to be staying in their houses longer than they were originally anticipated. So that has created a logjam in the for sale market. Typically, as seniors age, they would either move into dedicated seniors housing or move in with family members. That seems to be happening slower than was anticipated. So that's created the logjam in the single family market, which is also helping to boost multifamily demand.
So Mike and Sarah, we've talked about sort of broad economic environment. We've talked about some of the demographic trends and some of the market differences. What I'd like to understand is how all of this comes together when you think about just the business of owning and operating properties, the business of acquiring properties as well, like tie it back to that. So we think about, we talk about cap rates a lot. We talk about valuations a lot. How's that playing in given the market environment we have today?
Sure. So as I mentioned, interest rates are up significantly over the past year, 18 months. Cap rates have also been increasing, but not at nearly the pace that interest rates have been. That has caused the cap rate spread, the difference between the interest rate and cap rate, to compress to just about 115 basis points, which is the second lowest rate we've seen in the past 20 plus years, basically as far back as the data goes. It's also about 200 basis points lower than the long-term average, which is about 310 basis points. As a result, property values have been coming down for about the past 15 or so months. Property prices are down significantly, but that trend is flattening. And over the past quarter, they're down about 1%.
You know, there's like sort of the math part of it with cap rates and interest rates, but there's also the part of just if you're seeing less transaction volume, like there's just a behavioral element going on here that seems to influence this as well. How does that tie in?
For sure. No one wants to catch the falling knife. And, you know, the data we do get, while it's the best that's available, it's still a bit lagged and it's incomplete in a lot of places. So I think it's more good. I think it's better for general trends than actual kind of specifics.
So when we think about some of this, right, we've seen change in valuations now, change in property prices. Do we see some of that continuing, or do we think this is going to be relatively flat for a while?
You know, the Fed has been saying higher for longer. I think kind of as interest rates have stabilized over the past couple months, I think we're going to start to see transactions come back to the market, although it's probably going to be slowly. But definitely better than 2023, or definitely at a higher level than 2023.
And I think what's really important for the market is to just to see, while rates might be higher, let them stabilize for a little bit. We've been jumping around quite a bit. And as we know, the multifamily transaction market, it takes a while to get deals done, get them priced out. And while those interest rates have been constantly on the move, that's definitely going to deter some, or just have some of them go back, reprice, wait on the sidelines a little bit. And that's been contributing to the lower transaction volume that we've seen throughout 2023. So if the Fed's done raising the rates, and if they stay stabilized, then we can start seeing some people return to the market, transactions being done, learning where these deals need to be priced out. The problem with the rates moving so quickly within the past year or so, it's really hard for people to be able to understand the pricing dynamics, how they would work, how you come to agreement on them. So it's just left a lot of people on the sidelines, which has driven down the transaction volume. We will also see the impact with the volume origination numbers next year is in the amount of maturities coming due. So while we have a higher share of multifamily maturities in 24 and 25, those loans will need to refinance and they'll have to come to the market, figure out how they can refinance in this higher interest rate environment. And that can lead to some turning in transaction volume into the next few years.
You know, that's an interesting point, because it gets to, right, you're two different parts of the market, right? You have the transactions by choice, and then you have transactions where you just need to get it done. And that might, as you say, have some influence.
Yep. And that's something we're definitely keeping our eye on with the maturity volume or the maturity schedule that's coming due. For one, if you don't have the choice, but your loan term is coming up, especially with the fundamentals we've seen over the past year start to weaken, that might have some concern on the property or the borrower's ability to refinance at these higher interest rates when the fundamentals have slipped a little bit in the past year or so. But we like to think of the longer term picture. And most of the debt that's coming up in the next couple of years has had time to season, so that will allow NOIs to increase and property values to grow despite the past few quarters softening. So there's definitely going to be some concerns based on the type of loan originated and at what standards or underwriting standards it's been originated at. But for the most part, the multifamily debt coming due has a bit longer term, so it's have some cushion with NOI and valuation growth that it's seen over the past several years.
You know, one of the things that we always cover when on the Outlook episodes is what next year will look like. And, you know, it's a complicated environment. We just talked about transaction volume. I can imagine one of the hardest things to do right now would be to forecast what that's going to look like next year, and probably everybody really wants to know. I won't take a crack at it because I got neither of the numbers right you teed up at the beginning, Sarah. But I would like to hear, from Mike and you how you're thinking about the forecast next year and how others in the market are thinking about it.
So yeah, it's going to be a hard one. Forecasting volume is always a little bit difficult. But as Mike described, the mixed signals from the economy and where we see things going for next year with a soft landing but higher interest rates, that'll definitely continue to suppress what could be transaction volume churning. And as Mike said, with a lot of the new supply coming on, that also typically turns some volume as we see more transactions based on supply construction loans converting into permanent loans. So that being said, we do expect some volume growth for next year, up in 2024, given that interest rates hopefully will stabilize and bring more people to the table to get transactions done. We have it up to about $370 billion to $380 billion for the year. So this is about a 30% increase from the low levels of MBA's forecast for 2023, but it's still a good bit below what we saw in 2022 and 2021, closer to more that pre-pandemic 2019 level that we saw.
So the other thing that we tend to think about when we think about projections for next year is we look at rent growth and vacancy. And for 2024, we expect rent growth to come in at about 2.5%, which is a bit below the long-term average, and vacancy rates to come in at 5.7, which is also a bit about 40 basis points worse than the long-term average. So it points to a stable, although slow market. So that would also kind of tend to point to a lower origination volume compared to 2021 and 2022.
So I think that's a great point, Mike. While there's expected to be growth, given the high supply and the higher interest rates, the rent growth is expected to come in slightly below what we've seen historically for the multifamily market. And while vacancy rates are expected to be slightly above the long-run average, that'll also impact the fundamentals and the NOI that drives property price when we think of the transaction volume for next year.
Mike, thank you so much for being here today. We covered a lot. Sarah, thank you so much also for helping all of us understand how this fits together. I have one last question for both of you. Sarah, you mentioned at the beginning airplane and space shuttle and the different amount of time and distance to make their landings. Would you characterize the multifamily market right now more as an airplane or as a space shuttle? Mike, I'll ask you first.
I would categorize it as an airplane. It's coming down slowly. It's coming down softly. And hopefully, you know, there might be a little turbulence over the next month. A couple months or year, but hopefully it makes a nice soft landing in 2024.
I would tend to agree, and I would maybe even think of it as one of the larger 747s or Airbus 380s that may need a little bit more time to descend, especially if we think about the supply pipeline elongating that runway. But in general, we do see the economy going towards a soft landing, just might be drawn out a little bit. And we never talked about it being a quick or fast landing. These things take some time to work through and get down on the ground.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And not an ornithopter either, maybe. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you both for a great discussion.
Thanks, Corey.
The Freddie Mac podcast is produced and supported by a team of our Freddie Mac colleagues, including our production lead, Jenny Nguyen, and our audio producer, Dalton Okolo. To listen to more and keep up with the latest episodes, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And check out our website, mf.freddiemac.com/research, for the full catalog of podcast episodes and original Freddie Mac research.